Chapter 24, The Threefold Garrison of the Mind. A young missionary confides, "My first days on the field, away from friends and co-workers, were dreadful. Suddenly I realized how unprepared I was. All the doctrine I had learned in Bible college seemed almost useless. I had never really entered into a spirit-wrought reality such that the blood and the word of testimony could be my garrison against the enemy." A young mother discovers, "After giving birth to our second child, my body was so depleted, my mind and spirit seemed like open windows for the invasion of depression and imaginations of the enemy. While I had known the value of the blood as a garrison, I now discovered how imperative it was for my body to be strong so it would not be a drag on my mind and spirit. I am sure dozens of my friends fail to realize that full protection from the enemy demands that our whole being, body, soul, and spirit, should be strong and under the Lord's dominion. As one moves toward spiritual stature, he will soon recognize the need for the garrison of the mind. An intense battle for the mind is underway today. Perhaps as never before, the increasing deluge of printed matter and the intrusion of radio and television into the hallowed chambers of the home have converted many Christian minds into entertainment halls packed with thoughts, both good and bad. But there is an even more severe attack than this carnal invasion. That believer who determines to press into full overcoming will experience a spiritual onslaught directly from the enemy. All renewing, balancing, disciplining, developing, and discerning of the mind will seem wasted until one has learned to claim the threefold garrison of the blood, the word, and the spirit for protection." Paul, having faced Satan's persistent attack, knew how every child of God needs to know that the peace of God, which surpasses all power of thought, be a garrison to guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:7. This threefold garrison of the mind is pictured in Revelations 12:11. In the day when the accuser of the brethren steps in to accuse and cast down, John says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice. The blood is always effective in the legal or governmental realm. The Father has placed great value on the precious blood of his Son, and we must accept in confidence what it means to him. Even the enemy recognizes this judicial significance of the blood. Wherever its covering is claimed or announced, it immediately becomes a garrison, which all the hosts of darkness must honor. The word is effective in another sphere, to affirm our experience. Notice in the great temptation how Jesus did not trust in his own words, but in the word. It is written, "Even so, the word of our testimony is significant only as it is our affirmation that we are wholly in harmony with his word." As we testify to the victory the glorious Emancipator has wrought in the finished work of the cross, we announce that this is our victory, our emancipation now. We allow our voice to cut the atmosphere where the enemy is, the prince of the power of the air. These are no idle words about what we hope or feel or wish. The testimony that overcomes stands only on the ground of his word, our testimony in full agreement with his testimony. The Spirit is also our garrison, but in connection with this, we must understand what not loving our lives unto death signifies. We are told that the last enemy to be overcome is death. As long as the enemy can find a beachhead for frightening us about losing our life, we are in bondage to the spirit of death and fear. The spirit of life and victory is not reigning to accomplish full peace as a garrison over our hearts and minds until this fear of death is banished. How perfectly this is revealed in the Lord Jesus. By the Spirit, there was a unique link between his inner being and his Father God. They were in perfect oneness of spirit. From this hidden spiritual union flowed the motivating purpose of his life. The Spirit served as a garrison to protect him from outside invasions. All his guidance came by that link, and he did not act on other lines of guidance common to man. Advice, counsel, coercion, custom, expectation, nor even sympathetic appeal. Even appeals that were made to him out of the highest motives and desires for his own good were refused. even his mother's appeal in Matthew 12:48. From inner union with God, he took his guidance, the yea and nay for everything he did. I hope we can see how this complete union with the Lord is involved in this threefold garrison of the mind. Many readily claim the blood as they would wave a fetish to secure peace of mind, yet they have no real concern for coming into a harmony of testimony and a harmony of inner spirit with God. A stool will not stand on one leg when the other two are missing, nor will the mind be garrisoned when our spirit is not in union with his. How many dear souls have entertained fear for a moment and then allowed it to capture them? The heart begins to palpitate and fear begins to take hold. Soon the very thing that one so greatly feared has actually come upon him. See Job 3:25. What should we do? Simply reckon on the legal ground of the blood. But also affirm your reckoning openly as the word of your testimony. Then you must not only stand on Calvary ground, but your daily walk must be in accord, or your testimony will sound like a weak whisper against the lion's roar, and he will sneer, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Acts 19:15. Our testimony will cut the atmosphere just as emphatically as we know our inner life is wholly attuned to his heart. When we can stand strong in the Spirit, it is because we are one in spirit. In this pressing hour, when every newscast describes unrest on the national and international scene, there is need to be alert, but not alarmed. Some little children will push the panic button and allow the waves to swallow them up in fear, although they could be walking on those very waves with their eyes steadfast on him. Others will begin to see every new pressure as another call to prayer and intercession. It is imperative to know God's word and understand what God is allowing and what he is doing in those closing moments as the age of the Gentiles ends in utter confusion. In these perilous times, God's children should know the facts, yet they should also know to keep their hearts and minds garrisoned so they are at peace in the midst of the storm. In the eye of the storm, you remain in control. In the middle of the war, you guard my soul. You alone are the anchor when my sails are torn. Your love surrounds me in the eye of the storm. I believe only eternity will reveal how many times God's children, thus garrisoned, have stood in the breach in the hour of disaster or crisis. I recall the Friday morning service in Medford, Oregon, when news of President Kennedy's assassination came. We had just given the benediction. Everyone stood stunned and breathless. Then a spirit of intercession came as deep groanings and weeping spread over the entire assembly. We fell to our knees as one person, beseeching God to have his own way, to protect and rule over all. It has come to my attention that this very same travail came upon many others. Perhaps thousands were smitten in that crucial hour all around the world. As we arose from our knees, one could sense the inner peace and calm that had begun to reign in hearts which only a few minutes before had been bombarded by the enemy's attack. Now that many facts regarding the assassination are coming to light, we can easily trace Satan's master design, but we can also rejoice in God's amazing protection. He still rules supreme over the designs of men. I will always believe it was the intercession wrought by the Spirit among God's people which turned the tide and caused the most unexpected apprehension of the assassin. Can you imagine what might have happened if Lee Oswald had not been caught? It seems almost conclusive that right-wing patriots might have been rounded up from coast to coast. Only moments after Kennedy's death, the Voice of America beamed its message into Russia, blaming the reactionary right wing for the president's death. And despite all the facts to the contrary, the attempt is still being made to lay the blame on the doorstep of the conservative right wing. These tactics have been used before. In the first century, when the despised Christians had made such an impact upon the Roman Empire, it was Nero who masterminded the plot to blame the believers for burning Rome. And we must expect, as the battle becomes more intense, in the closing hours of this dispensation, that Satan's master plan will include continued and increased insinuations against Christians. Does this enrage your mind and stir your emotions? It is futile to start your own hate campaign by warring against flesh and blood. Rise up to see where the real battle is raging. What we see from here is merely puppets controlled by evil powers in the heavenlies. God will give us calm hearts and cool heads if we learn to live in His garrison. Spiritual stature is not attained without a growing understanding of the peace of God that keeps our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. How many times in crisis I have witnessed the value of the blood. When minds are being incensed and emotions are about to overrule, we have simply appropriated the blood as a covering over minds, as a protection from the onslaughts of the evil one. That Friday morning we have just alluded to, this was once again so evident. As we openly announced by the word of our testimony that His precious blood was to be the garrison for all our minds, it was almost like dew falling from heaven. Peace and inward serenity began to reign. The flood of distressing thoughts and emotional outbursts were set at naught. Yes, in this hour when emotions are like a tinderbox in so many communities, it is imperative that men and women of full stature rise to demonstrate His peace of mind in the midst of calamity. But we must know the value of the blood and how to announce our word of testimony in complete accord with His word. What about those times when physical exhaustion have left ones being with windows open and doors broken down? To the young mother mentioned in the beginning of this section and to others in a similar plight, we give this word of counsel. Our body, soul, and spirit function as one unit. If we could understand the intricate interworking, we should realize how important is proper nutrition and rest. To the amazement of many, I have sent certain folk home from meetings. In their intense hunger for spiritual reality, they would attend every night for weeks, only to discover they were helpless to appropriate because of body fatigue. I have ministered to some congregations who needed a good night's rest far more than they needed the truth I would share. The present truth for them might be how the body affects the mind and spirit. There is one final step in bringing our mind to God's intended full stature. It is to know the proper occupation of the mind. The prophet said, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed, occupied on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Isaiah 26.